flowing through here tonight, and your presence touches each and every person. We yield ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Amen. Everybody, my name is Robert Womack. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am the redeemed of the Lord. I want to thank you for being here tonight. Pastor David asked me Sunday to do this, and usually I need weeks to try to get things together. So I put this together in the past day or so. So we're going to see what this is. All right. So this week, thinking about coming here, I'm kind of looking around, seeing what's out in the world or listening to people talk to me. So I've got a friend of mine, a work friend, who 45 or 48 years old right now. Maybe he may kill me about that. He may be 43 or whatever. I know, he's a baby. He went to school, as a seminary school, to become a youth pastor, okay? So at 43, 45, whatever he is, he's no longer part of that. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't do much. He goes maybe once a month or something like that. So every time he talks to me, somehow the conversation turns around to Jesus and living and being a part of the kingdom. And he says, Robert, you teach me something. So this time we were talking, and he said, Robert, he says, I'm struggling financially. He said, I'm trying to get back up on top. And I said, well, I can help you with that. I said, you know, you believe in the Word of God, right? He said, oh, I believe in all of it. I believe in all of the Word of God. I said, well, God says you're struggling right now financially. If you will give, it will be given unto you. Mashed down, pressed together, shaken up, shall men give unto your bosom. By the measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. He says, well, I understand that. He said, but I'm not a giver. I said, well, you know, the Bible tells us that if we will sow, if I want a garden, I'm going to sow a seed and I'm going to reap that harvest. If you're going to sow financially into the kingdom, you will reap a harvest. He said, well, I'm just not a giver. Robert, you just... I'm like... And I didn't have the heart to tell him, you don't believe in anything. Right? So that's the thing, is do we believe in what the Word of God tells us or not? So tonight, I'm going to focus a little bit on that. Okay, this is the healing service, and so we're going to get around to that as well. How many of you in here know Jesus Christ? Okay, sounds good. Great. All right, so let's just find out who Jesus is, if we know Him, right? Who is Jesus? Luke 1:35. I've got it up here also, Warren. It is Warren, right?
Yes, sir.
So, Luke 35, and the angel answered and said to her, now this is Mary, right? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ is that one that was to be born. So who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. So we know that, right? Okay. Let's see what else He is. John 1:14. Who is Jesus? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, came to life in flesh. That's who Jesus is. Now look at this, the last couple of words. Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is walking, talking grace. And there is no untruth in Him. He is complete and total truth. Wow, that's awesome. All right. So, we know that Jesus is the Word. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, who is Jesus? Let's go on. Psalms 107, verses 20 and 21. God, or He, sent His Word, once again, Jesus Christ, right? And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Jesus Christ is the healer. He is the Word. He is the healer. He came and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. So if you guys would just honor me a little bit and say this after me. Lord, we give You thanks for the works that You put toward us. Thank You, Lord. I mean, that's what we are. That's who Jesus is to us. Okay, so now we know Jesus is the healer, the Son of God. He is the Word. Who is Jesus, right? Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with His Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Okay, so now He's the Son of God, He's the Word, He's the healer, He's also anointed, and He is indwelt with the presence of God. Now I want you to notice this verse closely. It says that He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And at the end it says, for God was with Him. The Holy Spirit is God. So it is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is with Jesus. So Jesus Christ is God. So, Son of God, the Word, the healer, the anointed one, He is God. So these are all fantastic things about who we serve, who we put our trust in, who we believe in. So now, what is Jesus doing for us or with us? Okay? This is the expanded version of the Bible, and it is John 5:19. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to stop at each little point here. Jesus said, He answered them, I tell you the truth. Okay, when did Jesus lie? Why does He have to say, I tell you the truth? He tells you, I tell you the truth to get your attention. Because He's not a liar, so if He says, I'm telling you the truth, listen up to this, because this is something that's out of the ordinary. I tell you the truth, or it says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, can do nothing alone. He's talking about His humanity, right? Because Jesus Christ was a man. So the Son, the man, can do nothing on His own. And then it says, on His own initiative or by Himself. Jesus continues, the Son only does what He sees the Father doing. Because the Son does whatever the Father does. And then the expanded piece, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Okay, this is fulfillment of Genesis here, where mankind was made in the image and the likeness of God. So Jesus is fulfilling that part and said, I am in the image and the likeness of My Father. I am doing only what I see My Father do. Now that's really cool, because people can read the entire Bible And you can come up with a vision of God that you're terrified of. You're scared of God. You don't want to be near Him. You think He's punitive. You think He wants to strike you. You think He wants to keep things from you. But then there's other people that read the Bible and it's all roses and clouds and everything. Well, I want to break it all down into one thing here, Jesus Christ. If you read the sections of Jesus's, the life of Jesus, He is the expressed image and likeness of His Father. He only did what He saw His Father do. Not once did Jesus ever turn anyone away. Not once did He deny a healing. Not once did He deny. Even when His mother came up and says, "Hey, we're running out of wine," He says, "You know, it's not my time." She just ignored Him and went over and says, "Do whatever He says." And what did He do? He still did what people needed. Jesus Christ does what His Father does. Okay? So, Jesus, He healed individual people. He healed all people in a crowd because it said He healed them all when He had functions and meetings. People who come up behind Him and touched Him were healed. They didn't even ask Him. Now, He was doing what He saw the Father do, right? People who asked Him for things, He did what they asked. He healed them. He didn't say, "I'm sorry, you don't live right, you don't do this." He simply did what they asked Him to do. The dead who couldn't ask Him to bring him back to life, He brought them back to life because someone asked Him to help with their family. Jesus only did what He saw the Father do. Jesus only did the Father's will. Okay. He never once turned one person down. He always tried to build people up and give them advice and leadership and guidance. Except for the religious leaders. He chewed them out because they were misleading the people. They were teaching something that was not the image of His Father. And He's like, "You brood of snakes or vipers." I want you to note that not one person that Jesus did something for was saved. Not one of them was saved. They were sinners. They were separated from God. They were living under the old covenant because Jesus Christ hadn't died to bring in the new covenant, or He hadn't died to pay for our redemption. There's not one saved person that Jesus Christ healed or took care of or helped in any way. Now, He did this just like the Father. The Father looked upon humanity with compassion. Jesus looked upon everyone with compassion. You didn't have to come to Him and be scrubbed clean and be the perfect individual, because there's no such thing. He did this willingly. One should also notice that when people came to Jesus and they would ask Him, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," He would say, "What do you want from me?" Now, He knew a lot of stuff, but He always said, "What is it you want?" And when they said, "I want to see, I want to be cancer-free, I want to be," you know, you name it, whatever you can think of in your mind, if you were talking to Jesus and said, "I want to be cancer-free, I want to be diabetes-free, I want to be pain-free," He says, "You have it. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." Now, they were there and they see Jesus. And we don't see Jesus, but they had faith. But what was their faith? Their faith was that they heard that Jesus was the healer. And they didn't exactly know who he was, right? A lot of the people knew he was the Son of God, but a lot of people thought he was just a good teacher. But even as a good teacher, the faith that they had was, if I could get to him, he will heal me. Now, is that very strong faith? I want you to know that basically, some people just heard something and said, I'm going to believe that. And they go. So it could be so minuscule, the faith could be so minor that it's almost non-existent, and they walk up. In fact, one of the lepers says, you know, if you will, if you're willing, you could heal me. He says, I'm willing, be healed. And he was healed. Now, is that faith? He says, your faith has made you well. That little bit of, okay, he can heal me, and I'm going to go ask him. That's huge. That's huge. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. He may have touched them. They may have touched him. But he said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, these are old covenant people, sinners. They're not right with God. They're not made righteous. They may have given a sacrifice or whatever, but still it is a momentary time thing. I want you to understand, they didn't have what we have. Let me ask you this. If you were alive when Jesus was on the world, what would you ask him to do for you? Keep it to yourself, but I don't want to hear something like, I want to see about world peace or maybe he protect the military. No, no, no. This is for you specifically. If you were to face to face with Jesus right now, what is it you would ask him for? Do all of you have something in your mind that you would ask him? Do you have something in your mind? Come on, you got to support me. You do. You got something in your mind? Y'all got something? Okay, I get it. I still see you. Okay. If you've got, you got something in your mind? All right. I'm going to answer for Jesus. I'm going to answer for him. Yes, you have it. Your faith has made you whole. Yes, you have it. Yes. Yes, you have it. And I am so assured that's what he would say, because the example of his life was, yes, you have it. Your faith. Just you being willing to go and ask him for something. Yes, you have it. Your faith is enough because you thought that you could go face to face with him and ask him, which is what those people in the old covenant had. It doesn't take a super faith to receive from God. You don't have to do some special prep, go dip yourself in oil, paint yourself green. You don't have to do none of that stuff. Your faith in asking is enough. Because the fact that you asked shows that you believe that he has the power to do something. The fact that you were willing to ask, the faith inside of you is enough to overcome mountains. It was enough for the Old Testament people, the Old Covenant people, when they approached Jesus to simply ask. How many of you were alive when Jesus Christ is alive? How many of you are alive when Jesus Christ was alive? Is that a weird question? Come on. Huh? Now, who's the oldest one in here? All right. That was a trick question. Jesus Christ is alive today. He rose from the grave victorious. Jesus Christ is alive. So all of you are alive when Jesus Christ is alive. Isn't that right? So we all have the privilege to go to Jesus and ask Him for everything that you just thought of in your head. And if you don't ask Him, do you really believe that Jesus Christ can do it? Like that man I was talking about earlier, he said, I believe it all, but I don't do this or that or this or that because I just can't. Jesus Christ is alive today, and we're living in a better covenant than what was the Old Testament. Okay? Where we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. The Spirit of God is here. The anointed power of God lives inside of you, which is the presence of God. And He says He will never leave you nor forsake you. So I don't care what you're experiencing, where you go, what you're feeling, what you're afraid of, you're not alone. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you. The same power that created this earth lives inside of you. The same power that created the universes lives inside of you. You know, if somebody, a doctor, and you come in contact with a virus or something, and they say, you're infected. If you came in contact with the flu, they say, you have the flu because you came in contact with it. You're in contact with the Holy Spirit. Now, we go around and say, well, I'm a nobody, I can't do anything, I'm worthless, I'm not good, I don't receive, I don't hear from God. That's hogwash. You're infected with the Holy Spirit. You are one and the same now. Just like if you were infected with a flu, you would be the flu. But this is much better. Much better. Jesus and the Holy Spirit that was with Him when He was anointed, right? Never turned anyone down. Not one person. In fact, He always performed what they asked. Always performed what they asked. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is within you. You are a walking, talking, Holy Spirit filled. Now, when Barbara gets back, tell her I jumped twice. She said I need to jump every once in a while, so I did it. She didn't see it. All right. Who is Jesus? Let's go back and see. Hebrews 8:6. Now, we're going to start talking New Covenant Jesus now. Jesus is Jesus, Old Covenant or New Covenant. But now I want to talk about us. Hebrews 6, this is the expanded version again. But the priestly work or service or ministry that has been given to Jesus is much greater than the work that was given to the other priests, the Old Testament priests. They had to sacrifice for their sins on a regular basis. Jesus' work is much greater than the work that was given to the other priests. In the same way, the new agreement, which is the new covenant that came after Jesus was resurrected, right? The new covenant or contract that Jesus brought from God. This new covenant is from God, your heavenly Father, to His people, that's us, is much greater than the old one. The new agreement is based on promises of better things. Now, The expanded person says, better promises. All God's promises are reliable, but these promises bring greater blessings. Whatever the old covenant people received from Jesus, you are more likely to receive them and in greater ways because you are a new covenant believer. So Jesus ushered that in for us. Now, Hebrews 13:8. You missed it. I jumped twice. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the way He was doing everything like the Father in the Old Covenant days, He's doing everything like the Father in the New Covenant days, which is in the past, today, and in the future. Jesus Christ is the same. He will not turn you down. Now, Jesus is now going to tell us a little bit more about our relationship. John 20, verse 17. He was about to go back to the Father after being raised from the grave. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and who? And your Father. And to my God and your God." After the resurrection of Jesus, His brethren are the ones that are believers in Him that have received Jesus Christ. That is us. We are the righteous ones. We are the brethren. And He says that there is no distinction between His relationship in the Father and our relationship in the Father. Jesus said, "I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God." There is no distinction. You are a child of the Most High God. What does this mean? After the resurrection, Jesus said that we have the same relationship because He has cleansed us and covered us with His blood, and we are now adopted as sons of God. We have the same relationship of God as He does. The same relationship. God will treat us like He treats His Son, because we are His children. We are His children. Luke 15:31. This is a parable that Jesus was talking to the people in the Old Covenant days to let them know an example of the relationship of God to His children. Luke 15:31, "My son," the Father said, "you are always with me." Now see, I told you before, He will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So we are always with Him. I don't care what you're facing, you are always with Him. And then He says, "Everything I have is yours." God is not withholding from us in any way, shape, or form. So let's go to 1 Peter 5:7. Because Jesus is telling us what we should do in our lives now. Jesus is the one who came to restore us, to redeem us. He is the Son of God, the Word of God, the Anointed One, the Healer. He is our Redeemer. And He's given us instructions as our brother to tell us what we can have. 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your cares." I want you to know salvation is more than just healing. This healing service is more than physical. It is casting all your cares all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all. Now, this is the Amplified Version. Once and for all. On Him. Him who? The Father, God. For He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Jesus said, His Father, our Father, this is how He's treating you. Now, once again, if you guys will repeat this after me, I would greatly appreciate it. Lord, I release all of my cares to you. I will not take them back. That's awesome. I mean, that's all He wants us to do, right? Because what we did is let Him recognize that I trust in Him. I have the faith to come to Him and ask Him. It's just that much. Lord, I give you my cares. I cast all my cares upon you. Psalms 34:19. This is more of your relationship. Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous. Now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. So the Word of God, the Word, Jesus Christ, God, says that many hardships and perplexing circumstances will confront you. But the Lord rescues him from them all. There's not one scenario that you're going to face in your life that you are stranded, that you can be afraid. We all have fears, I know we do. But if we recognize that the power of the creation of the world lives inside of us, the overcoming world power is there. And God has promised to rescue us from them all. We can walk in confidence. We can walk in love and joy and share what we know about our Father. Because it's not religion, folks. It's a relationship. And the relationship is my Father to His Son. And I can't do anything to make my Father love me more than what He loves me right now. You can't do anything to make your Father love you more than what He loves you right now. In fact, I'm going to say you can't do anything to make Him love you less. Because when He sees you, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not looking at your actions. He's looking at His creation. And He says, I love you. You are so important that He sent His Son, Jesus, to redeem us. So Jesus Christ is the sacrifice to bring us back into the right relationship with our Father. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him, which is God, right? Which is the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, because now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has come to dwell in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead and dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, which is the Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It didn't say He might do it. It didn't say He'd think about doing it. It didn't say He would, you know, if you do this or that, He would do it. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. What have you got to do to receive this? Trust in Jesus, because that's where it comes from. So now we know the Holy Spirit's inside of you. The presence of God is inside of you because of Jesus Christ. So Matthew 8:16-17. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. And He cast out the spirits with a word. and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, that was foretold of Jesus. And when Jesus was here, He was casting out demons and healing the sick. He did not turn one person away, and there was not one saved individual that He did that for. He did it because it was His creation, and He wanted that redemption. Now, Isaiah 53:5 is an Old Testament prophet who is speaking of things to come. And he's speaking about Jesus. He says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on Him, and by His stripes, wounds, we are healed. I want you to recognize this right here. Before Jesus Christ even came to this earth, they prophesied about Him coming, and He said that the punishment that was required for our well-being. Now, He's talking about the people before Jesus was there, about people that are going to be there when Jesus was on the earth, and talking about us today. Our well-being. What Jesus did was for you and I, for every human being that has lived, and for every human being that will live. The punishment that was required for our well-being was put on Him. They didn't even know Jesus back then. I mean, it was just the Messiah's coming. By His stripes, we are healed. This is my last verse, and so I want to get through this one, and then we'll pray for folks tonight. We are going to pray for not just physical healing, mental healing, financial healing, anything in your life that you want to turn over where it says, cast all of your cares. Because we're going to show that faith that we believe in God. I'm not just going to say I believe in it and not do it. We believe in God. So listen to this. This is so amazing. They should have this in blinking lights. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that Robert has in Him. You didn't see Robert up there, but you need to see your name up there. This is the confidence that Robert has in Him. That if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that I have asked of Him. Each of you need to read this verse with your name in there. Because He's talking to you. Anything. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He knows your thoughts even before you say them or even before you form them. He hears you. And if you can come to Him with confidence, knowing that you have come to Him in His will, and what does that mean, in His will? His Word right here is His will. What He has in store for you is in here. The promises for you are in here. And if I come to God requesting one of the promises to be fulfilled, I know that I have the petitions that I have asked for in front of Him. Glory to God. Praise God. Yes. Okay, who's at the end? We were healed, that's right. All right, so tonight, we're going to be faithful and do what God said to do. If you have something in your life that you thought of earlier that you were going to ask Jesus for, and you want to cast it out, and you want a prayer of agreement, or you want hands laid on you in agreement with the Word of God for some pain, sickness, ailment, or whatever, I want to do this right now for you. So if any of you have anything, come on up here and let's pray about it.
So.